When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear is a huff a puff and a... Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Welcome and thank you for joining us on the Wolf and Owl bonus episode for this week. And
do you know what bonus episode number this is?
No, I do. I mean, why are we still calling them bonus?
I know. But
well, actually, I do want to keep calling them bonus because there's going to come times when we're not able to do them. And I don't want fucking entitled little fuckwits getting in touch.
Wowzers, boy.
Going, where's the,
you know,
you guys have fucking dropped the ball or whatever on this free fucking podcast I'm getting. You fucking rats. Sweet. Nobody joking, I'm joking.
My sweet boy just fucking did up his laces and fucking went in two-footed.
You got to show him you're there. No, I'm only joking.
You got that sort of, you got a nice look about you today, by the way.
You think so?
Yeah, look at little McQueen jumper, nice cap, glasses looking fleek, just chilled, lying against the bed there.
I've had a traumatic day, bro, yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. There's a few things happened. First of all, I went to the dentist in the morning.
How's the tooth?
I just, look, shout out to the gentle dentist, who are the ones that look after me, all right? Don't take a sip of your drink to stop yourself giggling about a thing that is a genuine anxiety for me, all right?
No, it's just the gentle dentist. It just sounds so... Do they brush your hair while you're having
It's weird. The dentist comes in dressed like, you know, the BFG? And they, like, blow bubbles into the room.
Do they wear dentist clothes, or...?
They wear dentist clothes. What the fuck clothes do you think they wear?
No, I think just because...
It's not like going into Narnia, right? They're dressed... It's like a normal dentist.
No, I just think, like, do they... Because they know that you're scared of dentists, you're terrified of dentists. Do they, like, try and make it like it's not a dentist? Like, they dress up as a traffic warden or, like,
no,
a clown?
No, the idea is not... they're not dealing with delusionary people. It's just people who are just slightly frightened of the dentist. I tell you what they do, they've got headphones.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you can request whatever music you want.
What did you listen to?
I had some, like, jazz, I think.
Oh, really? I'd have probably gone with Enya.
Sure, but I can't listen to Orinoco Flow 27 times on repeat. I don't know what other songs she's done. But
is that the famous one, Nigel?
Yeah.
I love that song. They apparently have got other... I've never really listened.
They? Isn't it one person?
I thought it was a band.
No, you're thinking of N-dubs. Enya. Enya is one woman.
Enya's a band.
It's one woman.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure. I mean, listen... I'm not saying that she does all of those noises herself, But she's one of the, it is a band, but it's one of the ones where it's only the lead singer that's credited. She's got those people in. Should we look it up?
How do you feel about that?
I don't know. Hold on, let me look it up now.
I wouldn't even be able to guess what she looked like.
What a hell of a game that would be, though, wouldn't it?
What's that?
Guess what N looks like.
You've got to guess what N looks like.
Just one of you, of you at the pub, just with a photo of her. What do you think she looks like? Blonde? No. I reckon she's got a big
glasses.
Nose. No. No, it's a singer. Irish singer, songwriter, record producer, musician.
Is there a picture of her?
Irish, yeah. I mean, again, I don't know how many times I have to tell you we're doing a podcast, but I will show you the picture. Can you see that?
Oh, right. That's not at all what I thought. She looks a bit like, for listeners, she looks a bit like the woman from Texas.
Charlene Spiteri?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so they gave me like a polish.
Right.
They're painful, aren't they, polishes?
Yeah, yeah. Not
you nice. Know when they sort of get down into the gum line or whatever and really fucking dig it out?
Do they stroke you and stuff when you're doing it?
No. No.
No, no. Like stroke your head or your hand.
No.
Kiss your forehead when it's done.
You've been very unsupportive about my condition.
No, I just think the general dentist, I think, I'm all supportive of you. I think it's very sweet and it makes you ever more lovable, you know.
Yeah, thank you. So I had that. And then I went to, I'm not going to name the place because I don't want to slag them off, but I went to get measured up for a suit, right, for a thing. And the guy said to me, are you going on holiday? This is genuinely how the conversation went. He went, are you going on holiday soon? And I went, hopefully, I don't know. And he goes, I really hope you do go on holiday. I said, oh, right, why'd you say that? And he goes, because hopefully it'll help you lose some weight.
What?
I know. I couldn't. He said it. He didn't say it in an insulting way. He sort of said it like in a really chit chatty kind of, like, you know, just very light, sort of, you know, because you go swimming and stuff like that. And then hopefully.
So what did you say?
I went, oh, right. I'll be honest with you, mate. I did what we all do in those situations, which is sort of be stunned. Do you know what I mean? Like,
wow.
I don't know, man. It was difficult because, like, you're coming off the back of me working quite hard on trying to get myself in shape over the last couple of
weeks.
That's
the same thing to say to someone. I had a masseuse who said that to me once.
Right. And so I then go into a bit of a spiral. Not a spiral is an exaggeration because it was such a mad thing to say.
But you think you look all nice. You've just had your teeth polished.
Well, I didn't. You look nice. You just sort of think, do you know what? I feel like I'm getting my shit together a bit. I did a grown up thing. I went to the dentist as soon as my tooth, you know, I had a problem with my tooth.
Yeah.
You know, I've got like a new like schedule of like going to the dentist sorted out, you know, all of that. I've been exercising, all of that shit. And then you turn up and then he says that and you go, okay, so my on the road to improving myself looks like I've let myself go to rack and ruin, basically, to you.
But also, it's like the most like vulnerable place you could be for that to happen.
Yeah, but I think I was thinking about it.
You just in your pants at this time?
I was trousers off, top on. So, you know,
yeah.
Business upstairs, party downstairs. but when I was thinking about it as I went out, and I think a lot of people, because we did when Rob and I did the fashion episode.
Yeah,
they just talk like that. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not even insulting. It's like. They're just much more matter of fact about stuff like that. Actually, it's sort of a bit like Asian culture. Do you know what I mean? Like Asian people, like my mum will go, you look really fat on Mock the Week when you're on there. Do you know what I mean? Like really sort of blasé about it. And then I'll go to...
Yeah, but I think that's a generational thing. Like,
yeah, maybe, maybe. Like, yeah,
oh, you've
yeah.
definitely put on weight. Yeah, it's a generational thing that, yeah.
So anyway, I wandered out there reeling a little bit.
You didn't say anything to them?
No. Do you think I should have done? Well, would you?
I'd have made a joke of it.
Yeah.
I think. I had a guy yesterday, I was with some friends and we had a couple of drinks in Soho and it was all mates sort of, that I've known for years, all just sort of gathering, getting together. And one of my mates is one of those people who will always just fucking, like, pick up a stray sort of person that sort of, you know, which is, you know, how groups of friends become bigger, right? And you did it. Anyway, and we're all quite sort of, you know, this guy's, you know, brings along someone, you're like, oh, cool. You, for the most part, you sort of get on with people, but this, he brought a guy into the group who was so like misjudged the banter straight away.
Right.
Like he came into the group so hot and so full on. It was like he just misjudged it completely.
Do you think that might have been for your benefit a bit?
No, I don't think so. I think it was more he was doing it with everyone. When I spoke to him, he really went in on me. And I was like, what the fuck are you? Like, who are you? Like that sort of thing. And it, you know, when you're just sort of a bit on the back foot. And then one of my other mates just said, look, mate, you're going to have to go. You can't, you know, and he sort of tries to buy everyone shots. And you're like, we're fine for shots. It's just like you've sort of been rude and offensive to everyone in our group.
Has he tried to fun bob his way into your group?
It's a big look though, isn't it? Saying something like that.
What that guy did in your group, I think, first of all, if it's a really close group of friends, you've got to really be careful about bringing in... Because you've reached... Because I would be like... If that's a group of friends that you've known from like back in the day, right? I would feel uncomfortable about joining you for that because I sort of think you've got a dynamic there with those people that I'm just not... Do you know what I mean? So that...
Yeah.
So if you did, if for some reason I ended up on a night out with that group of people, you fucking play it low-key, man. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've got to go... You've got to be almost, you've got to be like a referee, almost unnoticed. Do you know what I mean? Like, and just sort of slip in and.
Well, not, and when it, like, because some referees go in big, don't they?
Yeah. But yeah, that is. I've actually got a regular friend of mine who constantly misjudges banter. Regularly brings a rolling joke to a fucking standstill. Like, you know, like you'll be having a bit of chat, you'll be saying, like, somebody looks a bit rough, or, you know, what are you dressed like, or. What's your missus up to? And they just go, your mum's a fucking whore and a slut, mate. She's a fucking takes it up the wrong and a bitch. And then just everyone goes quiet. It's like, oh, he's done it again.
Isn't it funny when someone does a tag on the punchline, but sort of repeats what someone else in the conversation had said about 5 minutes before?
It happens on some panel shows.
And then they cut your bit out.
They keep the rip off in. No, that doesn't happen, guys. We're only joking. Okay, so also the other thing that's happened to me is I went PT the other day, and
my guy hit a personal best, right?
Right. So that was on squats, right? Now, bearing in mind my personal best at quite a low level because I haven't really been hitting it that hard, but still, it was good. I haven't been
take the acclaim where you can, brother.
I couldn't walk yesterday, bro, and I'm still sore now.
Yes, squats are hardcore. Were you doing it in the guy's front garden?
No, it was. He's got a gym in his garage, but he has a door open when he's doing it. But I was in London yesterday, and every time I saw some steps in a tube station, I had to fucking steel myself, like to go up. And then I was like properly hanging onto the COVID-soaked banisters every time I was going up the stairs because
I don't think I'll ever get the tube again.
What? What are you talking about?
I hate it. Because of your
level of celebrity?
No, because my level of height. And I didn't like it before lockdown. I feel very anxious on it now. Like, because of, you know, COVID.
I know quite a few people like that.
And actually, I love walking. I genuinely think London is the best city to be, to walk around in. I love it. Yeah. I'd sooner get to London an hour beforehand and have a little bowl about than jump on a tube.
You know what? And the thing is, you don't want to go on tubes because you're a little bit anxious about that. And I've heard that and I've supported it. And I've just said to you, you know what, Tom? I hear you. I embrace your problem. And we move forward, which is a marked difference to the way that you responded to my dentist issue.
Yeah, but...
We took a little sip of that drink that you'll continue to be sponsored by, I assume, to stop yourself giggling at my issues.
No, it's just the way you said gentle dentist.
That's the name of the dentist, the gentle dentist. So anyway, I'm in a lot of pain at the moment. That's all I'm saying. I can't.
I can say, what's going on next to you there? Is that like a
here?
Little...
Yeah. So basically, I'm right on the edge of my bed, and this is where Lisa hangs all the coats. These are all Lisa's coats. She's got, I reckon, rough estimate, 20.
Really?
Yeah. She's got a problem.
I've got quite a few. I like coats.
Yeah, I know you do. I know you love a coat.
I love a coat.
Well, the problem with the coat is, you know, do you remember the days where, like, you could only afford to get one coat, like, every 3 years? And you had, to really fucking choose carefully because that was what you were going to look like. Do you know what I mean? Because you wore that.
I had a
coat
shot jacket for
time.
Like about a decade. One of the old shot jackets you used to pull the. I wore them for about a decade.
Yeah, I mean, you'd just be constantly going. Maybe people think maybe it's kind of cool that I'm wearing it now than nobody else is wearing it anymore.
Mine had about three cigarette burns in it. It used to do it when people used to smoke inside. People used to do a thing, didn't they? When they used to sort of like stub a cigarette out on someone's jacket.
Mate, it happened to me. Like one of my, it's horrible. I had a Moschino body warmer thing, gilet thing. Like, and nice. I came home. One of my mates had done it, thinking they were funny. Just stubbed it, put a cigarette in the back of it, and then I was so upset. I went to like took it to a dry cleaner. They said they did like mending or whatever, and so they kind of pinched it where the cigarette burn was, and like stitched it together. So it just went up at the back like a fucking. And like a bow tail to it. It looks absolutely horrendous. But I still wore it because I spent so much fucking money on it. Anyway.
You know, the worst thing someone did to me like that was I had a like a sort of puffer jacket with a hood on it. Yeah. And someone poured an ashtray into the hood.
Oh, my God.
And as I sort of left the pub, I was like, see you later. And this guy went, oh, mate, it's raining. I'll get your hood up. And I went like that and put my I had hair at the time as well. I put my hood up. The whole ashtray just was in my hair and like, whole pub laughed, like everyone was in on it.
The whole pub laughed.
Yeah.
I think that might. That might be how you remember it, bro. I don't think what the word had got round.
No, I remember it being the whole pub. It might have been like sort of 70% of the pub.
Okay,
like it was probably a couple of tables or like, what's everyone else laughing at? And then they looked up and saw.
How did you react to that?
I laughed. I
laughed
it off because the guy was like quite a sort of nasty piece of work.
He laughed it off and then left feeling angry about it.
No, I just felt terribly upset. I felt really like ridiculed. I had like cigarette ash in my hair.
No, I get what would have happened. You don't need a forensic expert to.
I think the time I showed it, I got home and my parents were like, good time at the pub. And I was like, well, I have had a good time. And I just ran upstairs and just sort of like went to bed.
I remember buying a French Connection puffer jacket once and feeling like, you know, it was like the most expensive garment I'd bought at that time. Do you remember when French Connection was the absolute shit?
Oh, mate. Oh, it's massive.
And I was going out with a girl and she picked me up because I didn't have a driving license yet. And I said, I've forgotten something. I can't remember what it was. And I knocked on the door to let me in. Mum let me in. And as I ran past the door in a rush to grab this thing, my sleeve sliced on the lock.
Oof.
And just feathers fucking shot out everywhere. I remember sort of really wanting to impress that girl, wearing this jacket. I've just destroyed it running into the house. I've already fucked up by asking her to wait outside because I've forgotten something, probably my wallet, right? And then I've run inside, pissed feathers everywhere. I've got to deal with the emotional impact of that. I remember sort of snapping at my mum. I think I blamed my mum. This is typical fucking teenage male thing to do. I just went, what'd you do that for? She goes, what do you mean? Like, open the door. Anyway, it didn't work out with that girl.
Sounds like you might have forgot your keys.
Do you know what? I think that might have been what it was, Poirot. anyway, God, we're very laid back today, aren't we? Do you think we're too laid back to do a podcast?
I think this is a very bonus episode, right?
Yeah, this is a very bonus episode.
This is my second hangover in a week. Yeah.
You're listening to the sultry sounds of the Wolfenau
brothers.
The Wolfenau bonus episode.
Have you got shoes and socks on?
I've not got shoes on, no, I've got socks on. Oh. Why are you asking? What a weird question to ask. Why'd you ask that?
I was just wondering whether you put on shoes and socks when you walk around the house.
So you think I'm lying on my bed with my shoes on?
I don't know. I don't wear shoes or socks in my house. I've got bare feet on.
You got bare feet? You got wooden floors?
And carpet and wooden floors.
Okay, the wooden floors. That's disgusting.
Well,
I could just imagine just poor Catherine having to listen to the sound of your sort of your pads hitting the fucking hard surface.
We've got marble floors downstairs. We've got marble downstairs and carpet upstairs.
Okay, email time.
Yes, let's do it.
This is from Philip. Phil.
Yo, Phil.
Yo, Rom and Tom. I need some of your sweet, sweet advice regarding my housemate best friend who constantly showers with his girlfriend, no matter if I'm home or not. This has been going on for 2 years now. Whenever she is visiting, quite a lot, they don't seem to be able to shower separately. I confronted him once, so I initially found it strange, and other people I've mentioned do think it's peculiar and disrespectful. Fair enough, I'm out of the house, but while I'm home, he responded, mate, if my hot girlfriend wants to wash me, I'm going to let her. Also, we're saving water, and if we both have a happy ending, we can't help that. I had no comeback. Neither do they.
What's he living with?
I don't know. There's
he's living with Stifler.
There's some valid points there, apart from the latter. It wasn't a heated debate. We've never fallen out in our 18-year friendship. We're always up front with each other. I also know for a fact, if it's the other way around, he'd be totally cool with it. What are your thoughts? Do you shower with other people every day to save the planet? Am I right in thinking it's weird, especially if I'm in the house? Or am I just being envious because I don't have a hot girlfriend who wants to scrub my hairy back and save the planet with me? Much love and stay clean, you beautiful souls. Well, you know, it's difficult with these kind of emails because the swan's choosing these, and I kind of thinking maybe she fancies a little shower up with the owl. But Tom, what
why don't you try and surprise her and get in the shower with her?
So the swan and the owl have had a shower together.
Yeah.
And I've got to be honest with you, the idea of showering together, I think, is a lot better than the actual reality. I mean, I actually think it's quite horrible. It's sort of...
If you're having a proper shower, it is.
What do you mean?
Well, if it's an actual shower. If it's like other, you know, stuff and there's a sort of like
if air essentiality. Isn't air essentiality? Just be open. You suddenly think we're on a PG podcast. Like, I say, what's wrong with you? You suddenly got all coy. If you're having a sensual sort of, intimate experience. If you're fucking in the shower, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, right. That's a sweet, sweet way of doing it. You know, you've said I was trying to be a little bit more romanticising the situation for young Philip.
I think that's overrated as well, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah, I do. So I think if it is just showering, doing that every time you shower is insane.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Sound the gifting panic alarm. You need to get an amazing gift. Wait, no, the perfect gift. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday present for the pickleballer, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
I do think it's insane. Is it a problem? I mean, these are two different things, aren't they? Insane is one thing. Is it something that Phil should be annoyed about is another, isn't it?
No, I don't think Philip's got any right to be annoyed. I think Phil's probably a bit jealous. You know, I think it would be fair to say. Mm-hmm. I think his friend's not being very sort of respectful of poor Phil and sweet Phil, because I think sweet Phil's, you know, He needs to be a little bit more like put an arm around him and say, look, maybe I'll stop showering. Or, you know, or maybe let Phil watch.
Yeah, that'd be a great solution. It's a lovely solution. Just sort of, I don't know, Phil, you sit yourself on the toilet there. And tuck in, I guess.
I mean, I suppose if he's brought it up already to the guy, let's call his flatmate Bernie. Okay. He's already brought it up to Bernie.
Yeah.
And Bernie sort of said, look, I'm not going to change my ways. I suppose for Phil now, he's got to get... At some point, it will get boring. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so he's just got to wait until it gets boring. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, I'd say. I think he's got to wait out. Or ask if he can watch. Because then he can't lose if he goes in and watches, can he?
Well, I'll tell you what, Phil. If you ask if you can watch, I imagine they'll definitely stop. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because what will happen is you'll say, can I watch? He'll say, no, that's weird. And then they'll assume that you're watching somehow anyway. So I think that's probably really good advice.
I think that's the best bit of advice we've ever given.
That's really good advice. So, Phil, let us know how that goes, mate. Good luck.
Definitely.
But in seriousness, although I do think they would stop if you said that, in all seriousness, if he would be cool with it if you were doing it, and they're not doing it in front of you, I sort of think you maybe have to live with it. Do you know what I mean? I don't really think it's a massive deal, personally. But good luck. Okay.
Good luck, Philip.
This is from Hannah Still. Hi, Lisa.
Wow.
Oh, no, this is like a little big. This is a little separate bit for her. Thanks for looking through the masses of emails for Wolf and Owl this week, each week. I imagine that's no mean feat. And then she goes on to say, hi, Ramesh and Tom. You're both the best. I'm genuinely so happy you both started this podcast. I hope you know that so many people enjoy and appreciate it. Oh, okay. It's very nice. I wanted to ask your opinion on pub quiz names. I'm properly on the fence about them. Now that restrictions are lifting, my boyfriend Sam and I are looking forward to going to our local and joining in their pub quiz. I feel like there's a type of people who love a witty team name and derive great joy from having what they think is the funniest name in the pub. I can't help thinking that 99% of them are pretty hacky, but then I'd feel slightly dull and embarrassed with just Hannah and Sam. I'd be really interested to hear your opinions. What do you think of pub quiz team names? Do you have any good ideas that aren't too try hard, but also not properly boring? Hannah Still. Now,
well, Hannah Still, let me just say,
yeah, go on.
I think you're amazing.
Why?
That's a great question.
Why?
It's outside the box. If there's a box, Hannah Still sits outside it. A really good question.
Why have you, but just so you know, guys, Thomas, Thomas, I don't know why you've done this. He sort of sat back. He sat back so much that I can tell that his legs are bare. He's got the mic in his lap. I don't know what the fuck has happened. What's going on?
It's a more chilled. Look, sometimes when you get a nice chilled, like sort of like something I can mull over a little bit, I like to just kick back.
This is a much more. You know, some of the episodes of this we do, we're sort of like on it and like firing. This feels like a more of a kind of. It's not worse. It's not better. I'll just say it's a very different vibe.
I think because I'm genuinely the most hungover I think I've been in the last 25 years.
And I feel sort of exhausted from not sleeping because...
With your toothache and your legs hurting.
Yeah, basically. So it's
I think this is the one where we just go, look, this is a very chilled vibe.
Can I just say, I feel like you're kind of feeling yourself a bit today. Did you have a good evening last night where the anecdotes were flying and you were sort of hitting home runs or something?
No. More than anything, when I'm hungover, I just feel really... So
you just look very pleased with yourself.
Because I'm chatting to you, I'm always very happy. If I'm honest with you, I'm not pleased with myself. I bathed pretty seriously when I got home, which is embarrassing.
How much did you drink?
Quite a lot, but even now, I sort of talking about I feel sick even talking about it. You know, when you drunk that much... I always get really sick when the weather changes as well, when the climate changes.
Sure. Are you drinking again this week?
No, that'll be it.
No. I'm going out on Saturday, and I've got a bit of a situation actually. I'm going out on Saturday with a load of mates, my mates that I grew up with, and then on Sunday I've got an early start because we're going to a farm park with the kids.
Manure is the worst. I've got that thing at the moment where I think there's a good chance I'll throw up as soon as I finish this podcast. Anyway, back to sweet Hannah. Listen, Hannah, I'm with you, Hannah. I think I'm not into the hacky team name things. It's like when you play fantasy football and people come up with, wacky names. I won't name any of the people. I play in two or three fantasy leagues and my team is just always called, like, you know, I can't even remember what my team's called. I literally don't do much thinking about it. It's the Big Dogs. That's what I'm called.
Okay.
All right. So I don't really think too much about that. Whereas some people have gone to a lot of thought. I think quiz names, you've got to be amazing at quizzes if you're going to give a massive big name, you know.
Yeah. It's like wearing coloured boots to football, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a very good analogy, actually.
Thank you. Yeah. Very good what?
Analogy.
Analogy? Analogy is what Maury Littman said in that BT ad. Do you mean analogy?
Yes.
Analogy? You got an ology. Well, I would say off the, Tom is absolutely right. And I would actually say Hannah and Sam will probably be the best pub quiz known.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Do you know what as well? I haven't been to a pub quiz for so long. Not just because of the pandemic. I used to love a pub quiz.
Did you?
Oh, mate, I'm insane at pub quizzes.
I had a horrible experience at a pub quiz once where I'd started, it was like my first job out of uni, and I was working with these three other guys, and I'm still in touch with them. They're like great guys, but they put us in an office in like a separate room because we were the newest to work on this specific team, and it was just us three. And in that room, we cultivated, this sounds really bad, this makes us sound really bad actually, but this is what happened. Cultivated quite an unoffendable sense of humour in there.
Right.
So like we were saying some pretty horrific things, yeah. And we got to a point where nobody was ever going to get upset by it because that was just...
how you rolled.
It was, yeah, we just got an anything goes kind of vibe in there. And then we decided to do the pub quiz and we went in as a team. And then we just started talking how we did in that like little bubble in the pub quiz thing without realizing. And actually, I think we ended quite a few, like we actually did a lot of damage to our working relationships that night.
Or with other people or really, each other.
Yeah, because people didn't really know us that well because we were in that separate area. And then they suddenly see us out for that night and we're saying the most savage, horrendous jokes you can fucking, like, we must have just looked absolutely awful. Do you know what I mean? And I remember like midway through the night, even despite being drunk and having no self-awareness, actually having a little modicule of that to just go, this is actually bad how we're behaving tonight.
You thought that?
I thought that, yeah. I did think that. And, you know, it was to be borne out. We were the least popular group in the whole office. But
what was your team called? Like the Savage Guys or something like that? The Nutters or something like that?
No, it was... I named it after this five-a-side football team that some mate said, Real Madras.
Really?
Yeah. So pathetic, isn't it?
Jesus. I can imagine you'd be amazing at pub quizzes, yeah? Like, you'd be set up to... You'd be a big money signing in a pub quiz team.
Do you know what I love about you?
What?
Is you managed to deliver what is quite a big insult in the form of a compliment.
That's an impressive compliment.
No, because I'm not going to fall for it this time because you do this a lot. You sort of say something complimentary and then I'll say something like, "What makes you say that?" And you go, yeah, because you know you're the sort of bookish nerd didn't have friends or whatever, so I had a lot of time to read books and encyclopedias and stuff and amass knowledge because you didn't have any social things going on.
No, I didn't
something
mean
like that.
I mean, look, that's a really horrible. I mean, you've sort of got look. What I'm saying is, if I would be proud to take if I had a pub quiz team,
yeah,
it's one social situation where I know I could take you to, and I'd feel very proud of you.
Do you know what? Actually, just off the back of what you just said there, Hannah and Sam. We would love you. We're giving you permission to do this. We would love your pub quiz team name to be the Wolf and Owl.
Ooh,
how about that?
That's a good call. That's a very good call. Go for it.
Go for it. Speaking of Wolf and Owl, do you know that Tony Hawk has got a podcast now? Have you had messages about this?
No.
He's doing a podcast with some other guy. Do you know what it's called?
What?
The Hawk and Wolf.
What?
Mate. And it's just them chatting shit. Taking messages and emails from...
Is it really?
No, it's not. I don't know what it is. But it's the it's called Hawk versus Wolf.
I mean, yeah, it's a bit different. But we could have called this Owl versus the Wolf.
Well, we might as well have done the amount of fucking digs you have, mate.
I'm not having any digs. Look, I've said literally one of the sweetest things about you. Because your nickname
one of the sweetest things about me is that I'd be... Sorry, one of the sweetest things about me would be that I'd be good in a pub quiz team. That's one of the sweetest things about me.
No, but your nickname could be like Quizzy. You have a football shirt with Quizzy on the back.
He's such a dick. Right, okay. Good luck with that, Hannah.
Good luck, Hannah. The Wolf and Owl too.
Next email. This is from Liam.
Tom,
I forgot to say this, man. So I went to cinema last night.
Oh, yeah, boy.
Two separate people came up to me to mention the podcast. And I'm not saying that in a drunk the Kool-Aid way. The reason I mention it is they specifically mention your toilet story, your potpourri story.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah. And this email opens with that.
Oh, wow.
I sort of had to stand there and listen to these people going, you know what the fucking funniest thing ever on that podcast? Oh, what? The Tom's potpourri story. Just incredible storytelling. Just great. And I go, is there anything? I didn't say that. In my head, I'm thinking, I wonder if they're going to sort of at least throw me a fucking bone and mention something on the podcast that I do that they found amusing, but they don't bother. Anyway.
Yeah, but you'd be the guy, if you know, that they, if out of the two of us, I'm sure if they're having a pub quiz team, they'd invite you.
Very well played. I can't even get angry at that because you put such a beautiful little ribbon on that. You deserve that. Enjoy it. I want you to use that little thing that you just did there that you're so proud of and try and use that for a bit of solace when you're throwing up after the podcast. So, hi, Wolf Allen Swan. Can I start by saying your pod has me cracking up for hours in my van driving from job to job? My personal favourite story being Tom and the potpourri. Don't worry, Rom, love your stuff too.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, that was actually, you know what, it's very nice. Since you've both been giving such great advice on a wide range of topics, I was hoping you could help with my predicament. I live in a small close with my girlfriend and two kids, aged 6 and 3, and our golden retriever, Henry. It's an interesting decision to not name the kids, but name the dog, isn't
it? Yeah,
yeah. I work
maybe
quite
the dog's cool with it. I like the fact that...
Or his girlfriend.
Yeah, but maybe the dog's the most open. Maybe the dog also listens to the podcast. Nothing makes me happier than seeing a workman in a van with a dog on the front seat.
Nothing makes you happier?
Well, it's something that always brings me a smile to my face.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it. Yeah. I tell you what I did see the other day, though.
Go on.
I was at a services and a guy pulled up in a van asking if I wanted to buy a TV.
Oh, yeah, that happens quite a lot.
No, but that I thought that was not like a services. 90s thing.
No, I think people are still doing it. I think services are a big call, isn't it?
Fuck is still falling for that?
Is that when they give you a box, it's just got bricks
yeah.
in it?
Yeah, one of them.
I mean, mate, to be fair, like, he must have... Did he know who you were?
I don't think so, no. I'll tell you what, though. I'm not getting fucking mugged off like that, mate. Listen, I've bought 4 boxes of bricks. You ain't going to get me again, all right? I don't operate like that.
What services were you at?
Cobham.
Oh, nice ones. Okay, that's quite close to your house, though.
What are you getting at?
Wait, that's a really weird place to stop.
I've got children, Tom, all right? I'd understand if it was peas pottage, you can have a go at me. Cobham is a good, 35, 40 minutes from my house.
Oh, I guess.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I do get annoyed when the kids demand a stop at Cobham.
You what? Well, did you get food there or just a wee stop?
Yeah.
What did you get?
So,
because there's not much choice for vegans there.
There is, mate. They've got a Leon there, bro.
Oh, nice. Really?
And I'm going to tell you something. If there's any vegans listening, the Carolina barbecue vegan burger at Leon is sublime.
Before lockdown, I was getting quite a serious running battle with Leon.
Okay, why?
I had an awful experience there. And then I DM'd them on Twitter complaining.
What did you say? So, first of all, what was the experience you had and what did you send them? What message did you send them?
I got one of their breakfast baps. It was freezing cold. It was like it had been out for like 4 days. It was so cold.
Okay.
Right. It was scandalous. But then I'd walked to the office and they hadn't put in the potato things that go with it.
Mm.
So I walked to my office, which is like 15 minutes, 20 minutes away of walking. And
you walked for 20 minutes,
yeah,
with it in a bag, and then complained about the temperature once you got to your office.
It's not, you know where
that makes sense.
You know where Leon is at Shepherd's Bush, yeah. And you know where my office is, right?
Yeah,
sure. That's not 20 minutes, is it? It's what, 10 minutes?
I don't know why you're disputing this to me. You're the one that came up with the initial figure.
Right.
So that's not fucking... You currently have a fucking argument with yourself.
Right, well, maybe it was 10 minutes.
Okay.
I then sat down and I was like, this is inedible. But then I also had a meeting, so I couldn't walk back and exchange it.
Right.
So I sent to DM saying, look, you know, that it's scandalous that you're just handing out cold food and you forget.
Did you use the word scandalous?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So first of all, I'm going to tell you now, if I was working at Leon and I saw somebody open the message with, this is scandalous, first thing I think is, this guy's a fucking lunatic, right?
Let me see if I can find the messages, because...
Okay, God.
I was genuinely really upset.
I can imagine you were. You're not good with it. You know, like you do need feeding, as we all do. I mean, what an insane thing to say. But what I mean is, you do get hangry.
I realise now that it's...
Go on, what?
Fucking hell, this is so pathetic.
Go on.
I'm so embarrassed.
Yeah, God.
I think it is scandalous. I eat at your Shepherd's Bush store all the time. The standard of your breakfast.
Do you know what? Okay, first of all, hold on, let's break this down. I use your Shepherd's Bush store all the time. So first of all, what that is, you're trying to suggest that you have you're a level of customer where if you move somewhere else, it's going to have a serious damage, yeah, serious right. impact on their business.
Okay, right, so on. The quality of your breakfast has massively nosedived. Right, and then I've signed off with two kisses.
What the fuck are you talking about? Why?
I don't know. Well, I've done two kisses at the end of it, and they say that's not good. We're so sorry, Tom. Can you let us know what you normally order so we can pass on a message to the team? We'd love to let you know that we could do better. What's your best address? The next couple of breakfasts are on us. Kiss.
Okay, so, yeah. So they've done a kiss to make you feel like less of a fucking loser.
I was genuinely. They've offered you,
you've
known me a long time. I feel so embarrassed even reading these now. Thank you. Thank you so much. I always order a porridge.
Thank you so much.
I always order a porridge with blueberries and a full breakfast pot with an extra egg. My address is bleep, 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 bleep. Again, thank you. Extra kiss.
Oh, my God. And then what happened?
Then I complained about massively let down by your customer service. You asked my details of my address and you sent me nothing. I've been regularly eating at your restaurant for 2 to 3 times a day. I should be contacting Trading Standards with photographs of my breakfast.
No, you did not say yes. that. You did not say that.
Sad that just this disregard for customers mean you couldn't be remotely bothered to get back to me and discuss this. No kisses.
Fucking hell, Tom, you're a fucking public figure, bro.
I sent a picture of my porridge. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. What did they reply?
I said, look at this. It's uncooked and watery. It's another level of gross. And they said, we agree, Tom. It looks horrible. Could you let us know where we get it from? Also, let's post you some more vouchers.
Oh, my God.
The next
God.
Few breakfasts are on us. Double kiss.
And then what did you reply to that?
Nothing.
Have you had the vouchers?
No, I think they were sent during lockdown. So,
be what, to the office?
Yeah, so they'll be there now.
So when you say running battle, what you mean is you fucking whinged and they've sent you vouchers. Does it feel like a running battle?
Well, yeah, I mean, actually, to be fair, when I remembered it differently. I've gone back through those texts. That's yeah. a big chat.
Because the story you told was sad, but then when you actually read the messages...
It's so pathetic. You know, like...
I'm going to contact Trading
about some porridge and a fucking cold bun.
That shows how fucking angry you get when you're hungry.
Oh, mate, I'm the worst that you would
think that is a reasonable thing to message. And not only that, it's like you're fucking Tom Davis off the telly, you mad prick. What must they think of you?
Because I don't think of myself as that guy. I just think about myself as a normal person who's just ordered a nice breakfast.
Yeah, sure, and it's not, sure. It's... Sure, but that's fine. But even if you did that as a normal person, I'd tell you it's fucking stupid. What I'm saying to you now is now that you're a story. Do you know where else those messages have been seen? At Leon head office by a bunch of people having a right fucking laugh. Have you watched King Gary? Right, so you know the guy, you know Gary. Have a look at this.
Oh, God.
And then he sent us a picture of the porridge.
Are we going to send him any vouchers? Nah, wait till he gets back in touch.
Leon, if you're listening to this, we would love some vouchers.
Yeah, shout out, Leon, actually. And, you know, the only reason I got so upset is because you guys, there are some stuff in that, your vegan chicken wings, things that you do, are just unreal.
Leon, I love Leon, man.
Shout out. It was just a real disappointment,
This is how much of a testament to Leon, right? Beckett, who does not hesitate in telling me when a vegan option is dreadful.
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely love saying that. Right?
Yeah.
But it's fair. I've given him vegan stuff from Leon, and he's eating it going, this is like, you know, I'm not even making a concession for the fact this is vegan. It's just delicious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what is so heartbreaking about when...
We're not being sponsored by Leon, by the way, before anybody asks us. Okay.
Back to the dog.
Holy shit. Who would have known that would have digressed in such a hilarious way? I work quite long hours and my missus works part-time running her own business. She's been working more and more and recently, and we were worrying that the dog might be on his own too much. So we decided to reach out to our neighbour next door, who's recently lost his job and split up with his partner and now lives alone. We knew the guy liked to drink, as we would often see him coming back from the shops with carrier bags of booze on a regular basis. However, we either weren't aware how dependent he was on the drink, or his drinking recently has got heavier. The dog has been going to his a couple of times a week. Sorry, the reason I laughed is it made it sound like he was going around there for a pint. When my missus had been working the odd longer day. All seemed fine until the other day when missus and I came back from work and at the same time picked up the dog and thanked our neighbour for having him. Half an hour later, there was a knock on the door. I opened it to see our neighbour standing in the porch looking confused and a bit worse for wear. He had no recollection of us picking up the dog. Oh, wow. God, this is quite dark. He had no recollection of us picking up the dog and was concerned the dog had got lost until the dog came bounding up to him when he saw who was at the door. We're a bit concerned as to how safe the dog is with him. And as he has also taken him for a walk on the odd occasion. While we appreciate his help and the fact he enjoys Henry's company, we're obviously concerned for both of their well-being. Should we continue to send the dog around there or look for an alternative option? In which case, how do we break this to our neighbour? I'm amazed that this email has finished like this, because I thought you were going to ask how to support this bloke.
Yeah.
He's clearly got some sort of issue. But what you're asking for is
a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
I mean, this actually happened to a friend of mine.
This exact situation where somebody asked him to look after their dog?
Yeah, well, no. So basically, we had a friend of ours who we don't really talk to anymore, Jonesy. And he's sort of...
Why do you have to name him?
No, because I'm just so people know...
No, but what? So people know what?
So people get...
All it does is it achieves, if that person... Somebody... That
he won't
getting
listen
back
to this. He won't listen to this. He doesn't like my stuff. He's quite a big fan of yours, but he doesn't... Yeah.
Well, okay. So there is a chance to listen to this.
Well, yeah. I mean, look...
Anyway, so tell me about Jonesy. So what did Jonesy do?
He was going through a similar sort of thing. He was having a bit of a tough old time of things. My other friend said to him, he had a dog, and he was like, maybe, you know, you could have the dog to keep you company a bit and sort of take it for walks and stuff. He worked at Travis Perkins at the time, Jonesy. So he's had the dog in the evening.
It's mental. This is mental. The level of detail you're putting into it.
No, but then he used to take the dog out and stuff. Built a very close relationship with this dog to the point where he's basically packed up all this stuff into his car and tried to run down to Selsey to go and live with the dog.
What the fuck are you talking
seriously,
about?
Seriously. He tried to do a runner with this dog. Because he had so
Tom,
much...
Tom.
I swear, it's Tom. True. We didn't realise he was in the position he was, but he owed quite a few people money as well. He tried to run away with the dog.
Okay, but you've totally misrepresented that story. You made it out like you'd fucking, eloped with the dog. That's how you made that sound.
No.
But he had a load of debt and ran away and happened to also take the dog with him. That's what the story is.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
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 No, but you, the way you started that story is he's run away to go and have a fucking life with the dog.
Yeah, he ran away to escape debts, but took the dog with him.
Right, okay. So that's how you tell that story.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. What are you, the son?
My point is, when people, dogs are an incredible companion when you're feeling pretty low and when you're feeling pretty sorry for yourself and you're going through it. Yeah, dogs are amazing people. That's what they, almost dogs just come into their own at that time, better than humans. So I think it would be pretty hard for the guy if you took the dog away from him, because he clearly has a very sort of a kinship with this dog. But on the flip side of that, as a dog owner myself, I'd be absolutely terrified of, you know, the situation that, you know, he's found himself in. I guess he's probably just having quite an earnest and sort of honest conversation with this gentleman and just saying that we're a bit worried about, you know, the fact that, you forgot about the fact that you're taking, you know, whether, you know, you're drinking too much. We're just worried about Henry and whether Henry's sort of, you know, well-being. Henry loves spending time with you. You know, he thinks a lot of you. He cares about you. But we're going to have to look at, you know, like an alternative.
Yeah, I do think that is really good advice. I mean, look, the truth is, this guy's obviously got some issues, potentially got some issues with his drinking. Or he might just be... Look, the truth is, I drank a lot during the first lockdown. And there is an argument that if somebody had come to visit me 4 consecutive days in a week on some weeks, I would have been hammered. And it would have looked like I had a problem, is a genuine
truth. Yeah, I mean, this week I've had 2 big sessions.
There you go. So, you know, there you go. Tom's managed to bring it back to him. So, I'm only joking. I've just deliberately been a prick there. So what I'm saying is, it's possible that this is just the guy just drinking. Do you know what I mean? Just having a bit of a, and you know, that there is a bleakness to that, but it's not as big a problem as it could be. Or he's having genuine issues. In which case, there is an argument that you could use Henry to kind of help the situation, which is, like Tom said, have an earnest and honest conversation about the fact that you don't really want to leave your dog with somebody who's been drinking. The first thing that'll do is highlight to the bloke that you've noticed it, right? Which could be the wake-up call that he's after. And then, you know, if you follow that up with, we wouldn't really feel safe with leaving the dog with somebody that's been drinking, he's got a choice to make there. That choice is either he doesn't drink while he's looking after your dog, or he says, I don't want to look after the dog anymore, and he continues drinking. And then you've got to make a choice on how to support him. If he decides that he's not going to drink while he's looking after the dog, you're actually doing him a favour.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It sort of helps. It'll help regulate his behaviour. But all of that is circumstantial. It all depends on you having that chat with him. So
it's one of those moments in life where you just wish that the dog could talk, isn't it?
Yes, I suppose so. And what would you try and glean from the dog?
I'd just say, Henry, mate, can you come in here, please? Like, me and your mum are a little bit worried about, you know, the guy next door. Is his name Andrew, the guy next door? Or have I just made that up?
He's not named. The only person that's been named in this is...
Henry the dog.
Is Henry the dog,
yeah. Like, Henry, like, you know, obviously you're going around to, you know, the neighbour's house. You know, is his house clean inside? Is it nice? You know, does he feed you at lunchtime? How do you think he's drinking too much? You know, do you feel safe with him? Do you feel safe with when you go for a walk? And then the dog would be like,
"Yeah." I mean, what I would say there is, not only do you want the dog to be able to talk, you also want the dog to have quite a nuanced and in-depth understanding of what a safe level of alcohol drinking is.
No, the dog's not going to understand
how the guy's running his life. Because as far as I can tell, most dogs that I've come across, if they were to speak, they would say things like, I am hungry, I need a piss now, can we go for a walk? I don't think they'd say things like, are you getting enough protein? Or do you...
No, what I'm saying, Chad.
Do you think your diet's balanced?
No, I'm just saying that he's got an insight into this neighbour's house that none of us have got. So he might just say, oh, you know what, actually, yeah, he does, like, you know, at 12 o'clock he'll have a couple of cans of beer. You know.
So the dog can tell the time, okay.
Yeah, and then he'll sort of like have a couple of glasses of whiskey, and sometimes he drinks some white wine. And actually, to be fair, sometimes he completely forgets to take me out at all. So I'm quite worried about him. But I do enjoy being at his house because he tickles my tummy, and like we'll sit on the sofa together and watch films.
I would say you're asking quite a lot of even a talking dog there. expecting that level of insight.
But it's the only way that we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Sure. So Liam, my advice is to have a conversation with your neighbour. Tom's advice is to find a way to somehow have a conversation with your dog. Good luck. Okay, Tom, that's all we've got time for, my G.
My guy. Mate, I'm going to go and just lie next to the toilet for about an hour.
Okay.
You're going into London now?
No, I'm at home all day today.
Hey, what are you going to do?
Oh, no, fucking hell, I've got a gig tonight.
Oh, shit, whereabouts?
Shit, Gravesend.
Oof, my guy. Oh, mate, enjoy, my brother.
Thank you. I'll speak to you soon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for
on
listening.
The Wolf for now.
And remember...
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah. A dog is just a friend who has a story of their own. And one day you shall hear that story.
Yeah. Great. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.